Here's our series on aging in Portland. Retired or rewired? What it's like getting old in a youth-centered city. Are you up for that challenge? We'll bring you lots of views, but you'll have to answer this question for yourself. Is Portland a good place in which to grow old? Today, we continue to delve into medical issues related to aging in Portland, and we have in our studio Dr. Susan Toll. Dr. Toll founded the OHSU Center for Ethics in Healthcare in 1989 and has directed it ever since. She's a practicing internist in the Division of General Medicine and Geriatrics, and she led a team that created the program known as POLST, recognized nationally as an important component in treating end-of-life conditions. Dr. Toll, welcome to KABU.
Tom, it's great to be here.
As I understand it, you created a program, a system that's known as the Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment Program. You call this POLST. What is the program, and how does it relate to advanced directives that we may already have? Why would I need the two things?
People often wonder, why do I need two documents? I already have an advance directive. Perhaps they filled it out talking with their families. Perhaps they filled it out with their lawyer. The wonderful thing about an advance directive is it's a great conversation tool with your family to help you talk about what really matters to you. And it allows you to appoint someone, legally appoint them, to make decisions if you're so sick you can't make decisions for yourself. An advance directive is a very helpful tool, and certainly we encourage all adults to have one. POLST isn't for everybody. It's very different. It's for people nearing the end of their lives, and it's for people who are ready to say, I'm not talking about the future anymore. I'm talking about tonight. If I collapse and emergency medicine personnel come running in here, there are some treatments I want and there are some treatments I don't want, and I mean it today. Then you're ready to take your advance directive and turn it into action with medical orders.
So if I understand correctly, an advance directive can be sort of a strategic thing that's requires some interpretation, whereas a POLST is very specific. Is that right?
That's exactly right. And one is a philosophical guide, and the other, the POLST, Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment, the word orders means it's medical orders. So it gives specific orders to do or not do certain medical treatments in a crisis.
You have a very specific form. It's a two-page form. I'm holding a copy of it. It's front and back. It's pink in color. It really gets your attention. And it's got the specific kinds of subjects that this document covers. Tell us, what are the typical subjects or provisions that are in this agreement?
Well, this is indeed for people who are nearing the end of their lives. This is not for everybody. And we are turning your wishes into action with medical orders. And as we do that, we ask a couple of very basic questions. If your heart stops, do you want us to attempt to restart it? People often think, because they maybe have watched television, that we're likely to be able to get their heart restarted. But for people who are living in a nursing home, are frail, the rate of being able to get your heart restarted is about 3 in 100. It's very low. And that doesn't mean that you're as good as new. It means we just got your heart restarted.
So your heart may be damaged, and your ribs may be damaged, and a lot of other things may be damaged.
People are particularly worried about whether or not the brain missed oxygen for too long. And that is a kind of impairment that many are worried about. If your heart stops and you're not breathing, something serious medical happened to cause that. Just restarting your heart may not fix what that problem was. And that is very serious if you're already frail and very ill.
Why was this needed? How did it, what was the occasion that made this come about?
One of the most common things we were seeing in the early 1990s when we developed the PULSE program was people being transferred with advanced dementia and pneumonia from nursing homes and ending up on breathing machines in intensive care. Family weren't with them at the time, and they couldn't provide medical information. And family would come in and say, "What on earth are you doing? Mom wouldn't want this," as they were in the intensive care unit on a breathing machine. It made us realize that orders in the nursing home weren't being transported, weren't being honored outside the nursing home.
What role does the family of the patient play in executing and implementing the agreement, or do they necessarily play a role?
Well, first of all, family benefit enormously the more they know about what you want. If they feel very clear about what you want, if you've appointed a surrogate and they actually have legal authority to speak for you, and they know what you would want, they can get your PULSE form signed. They can be sure your wishes are honored. And not only that, but they could get a document changed if maybe you got sicker and there are more treatments you wouldn't want now, but you did a couple of months ago.
Does this exist only in Oregon? What about Washington and other states?
Oregon is one state that developed the Physician Orders for Life-Sustaining Treatment program, but all states are now developing a program. Over 20 have very active programs statewide, and soon we think it will be used completely across the United States.
Doctor, you recently wrote an article in the New England Journal of Medicine, and I think you contended that patients in Oregon are less likely to receive intensive care and more likely to receive hospice care at end of life than patients in other states. Is this the result of this program, of the PULSE program?
The PULSE program is one component of many different things that have happened in Oregon. Extensive education, overcoming some systems problems that made it difficult to have wishes honored. There are many factors at work, but the net result is Oregonians who wish to stay near the end of life at home and die in their own bed are more likely to do so than in other states. For people who want a lot more information about planning near the end of life, we have a website with lots of resources, short videos, printed materials that can help you and your family. And you go to OregonPULST.org. No periods, no dots, no anything. Just run Oregon and PULSE together.org. People say things differently. It's why you need to have conversations with those you love, because we're not all the same. And we value certain things more for one person than another. It needs to be all about the person you are at this point in your life and how you want to live life's last chapter.
Dr. Susan Toll, thanks for coming to KABU today, and thanks for all you do.
You are most welcome, Tom. It's a pleasure.
What you just heard is an edited version of an interview that you may want to hear in full by going to our website, kboo.fm. You've been listening to our series on aging in Portland, retired or rewired. You can listen to any episode in this series or the entire series if you go to kboo.fm and look for the show under my name, Tom Flynn. Thanks for joining us today.